Yep.
This is the Beer Decking Show number 355 for Thursday, July the 4th. How many times do I get to open the show with America? Fuck yeah.
Whenever you want, it's your show. Hate to point out the bleeding obvious.
Okay, how many times do I have appropriate cause to open the show? I mean, we haven't invaded anywhere in, like, a big flashy way lately, so, I mean, you know.
I don't know. What do they call, or what's France call the D-Day celebration over there?
I do not know.
We give up?
No, they're not celebrating them being hit by Germany. It's the D-Day landings and freeing of France.
I have no idea.
On that one, you could play it, but you'd also need to find something that also says England, fuck yeah, and Canada, fuck yeah, because we're the three that fucking did it.
Well, I know of Canada, you know, blame Canada. I don't know of anything. I guess we just any old drinking song would work for England. Anyways, I guess I should finish the
England.
Open.
It's a Muslim call to prayer.
Oh God. All right, let me finish the open here. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and realizing that holidays are really just for catching up on sleep. I'm Morps, and tonight we have Mad Men.
Hello.
BSV.
Hello.
And are you?
I didn't do it.
Everyone has awkwardly said hello, so now we can actually go into the...
Oh, here. Take
yeah.
roll next time.
Say what?
Take roll next time.
Take roll?
Yeah.
Well, if we're going to do iTunes Saturday, that's an option for you.
There we go, yeah.
Especially because we found some fantastic audio to use for iTunes.
It's
set.
Piling up because we're not doing the shows.
I know,
why.
I know. But anyways... just a heads up, might be a short show this week. We started late. We're gonna blame the non-American because everybody else was actually here to start the show.
On my fucking special day.
But, well, I mean, you know, we could be talking about Suave. He's not here, but we could be talking about him. That's the best time to talk about somebody is when they're not around, right?
He's still recovering from the maple syrup hangover from Canada Day. Where they all sit around and huff maple syrup from the trunk of Cadillacs.
How do you huff maple syrup? That just is a weird visual.
It's a special technique that only Canadians are taught at birth.
Is that why we see them standing on their head and taking syrup up the nose?
That's why they have that speech impediment, eh? It's the huffing of the maple. It's a big tradition, eh? This is why Major doesn't do shows with us anymore.
Damn it, now I want maple glazed donuts.
They're very American?
No, not.
No, the maple bacon donut is American, though.
And those are delicious.
Ah, cholesterol. The main export.
I had a vendor bring some of those in a couple of weeks ago. I mean, there were literal fist fights breaking out in the break room over who got them.
Oh.
So
competitive workplace
at times. That's why it's, you know, helpful to just be bigger than everybody else, which is usually what works for me. Worked for me in high school too, usually. Anyways, let's see. So first article I have is from the Register. There's a couple of people talking about this right now, but, yeah, this was published, yesterday. YouTube mystery ban on hacking videos. YouTube under fire since inception for building a business on other people's copyrights, and in recent years for facilitating policies on irredeemable content. Yeah, I think this guy might have a political bend to his writing.
You think?
Possibly doesn't care for YouTube. Could be because he sees them as a competitor for advertising dollars. Because let's be real, that's what YouTube is doing. They're trying to Disney-fy YouTube so it looks nice to advertisers. It's I'm sure it helps that, you know, the people running YouTube probably have a certain political bend, but really, at the end of the day, they're just trying to avoid controversy so they can be friendly to, I don't know, car insurance advertising or whatever the hell. Anyways. The written policy first appears in the Internet Wayback Machine's archive of web history in an April 5th, 2019 snapshot. It forbids instructional hacking and phishing, showing users how to bypass secure computer systems or steal user credentials and personal data. Lack of clarity around the permissibility of cybersecurity-related content has been an issue for years. In years past. Editors.
Can we get some editors up in this shit?
God. Just the past.
So we now have the equivalent of a double negative. So they're actually in the future at this point. In years past, could be removed if enough users submitted reports objecting to them or if the moderators found the videos violated other articulated policies. I always kind of figured, like, if you were live streaming breaking into somebody's website, you'd probably get kicked off. But if you were just like, here's Virtual Machine A, here's Virtual Machine B, here's how to use Metasploit, that you're just making an educational video.
Dude, it's unregulated knowledge.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's knowledge that you can acquire without accreditation.
There's a lot of lectures on YouTube. I listen to them.
Yeah, so do I. So does this mean, DerbyCon and those videos are pulled down now?
Not yet, but I'm betting that's where it's going.
I hope not, man. I hope not.
Because it's hard enough. For anybody who never figured this out, hasn't listened to the show before, I actually work in the cybersecurity field for my day job. That's how I pay the rent. And blue teaming sucks, by the way. And yes, that's been my life for the past 5 years, but it sucks. It's not nearly as much fun as red teaming, because getting to break into all the things and make, you know, epic videos about how to, you know, how you found some little bug that could be exploited to gain root on, you know, Google Home Hub or whatever the fuck. That stuff's all great. Doing blue teaming stuff where it's just like, here's how to build a really secure network and firewall, half the time all you're doing is pissing off your own users because you're making it harder for them to go to Facebook. So, you'd be surprised.
And at the end of the day, isn't that something we all hope for?
Yep. But,
Does Iron Angel put those videos up anywhere else?
Oh, Iron Geek?
Iron Geek, sorry.
Not
does he host them separately on his own servers or anything?
I know he has them, he keeps them, but I'm pretty sure he uses YouTube as his repository for all that stuff.
I suppose he can go over to BitChute.
Yeah, I mean, I think BitChute has a thing where if you like give them your YouTube creds, they'll just pull all your videos in and post them. Or not your creds, I think it's just your channel, isn't it?
I have no idea. I can't get to BitChute.
Oh, really? They still have that blocked for you? I thought that was a temporary thing.
Nope. Blocked to the ISP for virtual signaling.
Have you tried any of the others, like Library or what's the other one they're pushing? I can't remember. Anyways.
When I see them, I generally go and have a look at them. I think I know the one you're talking about, but I think they have a really poor search algorithm.
Yeah.
So you can't really find who you're looking for.
Yeah, they're it's pretty young.
Yeah, but they'll get better if they live long enough.
Yeah. So,
hate for something to happen to your website there, sir.
Now that there's a written rule, the renewed concern about the policy is being applied. Cody Kinsey, a security researcher and educator who posts hacking videos to YouTube's Nullbyte channel, on Tuesday said a video created for the U.S. 4th of July holiday to demonstrate launching fireworks over Wi-Fi couldn't be uploaded because of the rule. Oh, that's shitty.
You're setting off explosives via Wi-Fi. That's why it's not up there.
But that would be so cool to see. I mean, it wouldn't be that hard to do. You just need an ESP 232.
You're
going to
get yourself banned. Silence.
You'd need some nichrome wire and a resistor to limit the current so that it didn't. You could use a potentiometer. Just you just want it hot enough to so that you can loop some nichrome around the actual fuse of the firework.
I would just like to say to U.S. Customs and Border officials, I disavow this, man.
If you can't get nichrome in the right voltage, you might need a MOSFET so that you can run it off like, you know, like a LiPo battery or something like that. But, I mean, yeah, I'll bet that's what they were doing. I bet it was just an ESP-232 and some nichrome wire just to get hot enough. You know, and they were probably going to show how you could salvage the wire from a hairdryer. You could do it with an Arduino, but the ESP would be a little bit easier. Oh, sorry. Am I not supposed to figure out how to build this shit on air?
Oh, you can figure it out all you want, man. I just disavow.
I mean, all you need is pull the pin high to. That'd probably overdraw the digital pin, so you probably would need a MOSFET and a separate power supply. But I mean, still, it's not that hard of a circuit.
So they pulled that video down, but I guarantee you, I can go find out how to do the timer on a mortar because I know that video is up. I know where you can go build a war truck video for battle and how to successfully rig up a Toyota Hilux Ute to become a IED pretty much.
Well, I mean, hell, at one point I jerry-rigged a computer to explain to Madman how to build a bomb out of household chemicals. So, you know, sure.
Selectively pulling down videos is bullshit, man.
It is.
It's so much bullshit, because if you go to the non-English speaking parts of YouTube, it's the wild fucking west over there, man. No one gives a shit.
So, here we go. I'm worried for everyone that teaches about InfoSec and tries to fill in the gaps for people who are learning, he said via Twitter. It's hard, often boring, and expensive to learn cybersecurity. I don't disagree with that, having done it. Well, I didn't think it was that hard. I mean, it's you know, like any speciality, right? You got to put the work in, but I mean, it's not like it's impossible.
Oh, you can learn anything if you put the time in.
And the expense is actually the credentialing more than anything.
Yes, it is. Have you looked at what it is to get some of these fucking certs, like a CISSP? I mean, shit.
By the time you get it, though, it's invalid.
Yeah, that's true. So I actually need to see if I can get work to pay to get a CEH. It's like, it's not a question of could I pass the CEH, because I'm sitting there looking at it. It's like, this is boring. I know this shit. But it's a question of paying for it and getting the time to go take the test and all that shit, right?
IT should be a 4-year paid internship.
I think there are a lot of industries, IT would be one of them, that you could do apprenticeships instead of formal education.
Yeah.
But IT would definitely be one of them. I bet a lot of them. Accounting, banking, shit like that.
Accounting used to. They were called bookkeepers.
Yep.
What did away with them was the PC.
Ah. Because the it does math for you.
Yeah. Spreadsheet maker. Spreadsheets pretty much killed it. Because I can either pay 10 people to do this, and we can put out one a week or one a month, and hopefully the client won't ask us to tweak the numbers after we've done this, because we have to do it all over by hand again, or if we can key all of this into Excel and hit enter.
So, actually, with the changes at my job, they probably would pay for certification. I just need to figure out what's involved and the correct method of asking. Because going to my boss and saying, hey, I want to do this, is usually going to get it. That's great. You need to figure out who to ask up in corporate. Thanks for the help. So, it's not like they know either. So, anyways, Let's see. Well,
essentially, you're asking for $90,000.
Yeah. Depending on the course or whatever the cert I want to get is, yeah.
Yeah.
So, in an email to the registrar, Kinsey clarified that YouTube had problems with three previous videos, which got flagged and were either in the process of review or have already been appealed and restored. They involved Wi-Fi hacking. One of the Wi-Fi hacking videos got a strike on Tuesday, and that disabled uploading for the account, preventing the fireworks video from going up. So their whole account was banned because they were teaching people how Wi-Fi is insecure. The registrar asked Google's YouTube for comment, but we have not heard back. Security professionals find the policy questionable. Very simply, hacking is not a derogatory term and shouldn't be used in a policy about what content is acceptable, said Tim Erland, VP of Product Management and Strategy at Cybersecurity Biz Tripwire, in an email to the registrar. And I agree with him completely.
Media have made hacking a dirty word.
Hacking is just figuring out how the computer works and taking advantage of it in unexpected ways. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's why back in the 90s you had him trying to split it all up. Oh, no, I'm not a hacker. He's not a hacker. He's a cracker. That's something else. But then it's like, you know, the black people got mad at that one because it's like, no, that's what we call white people. So,
yeah. That may be the denotation, but thanks to years and years of movies and television shows, the connotation is very different.
Well, if you're referring to the show where they had two people start typing on the same keyboard.
Not necessarily, but there were other stupid ones that did just as badly.
Yeah, I like the explanation of IRC as being two ships meeting at sea. It's like, no, it's a chat room. Everyone knows what a chat room is. It's just a dedicated protocol for that. You didn't need some wacky explanation. Track them with a GUI, Visual Basic. Wait, what? There's a lot of bad ones. That was something really, you know, early on in one of the Matrix movies where they actually showed in-mapping taking care of an SSH vulnerability. It's like, fuck, that's real. So, can't show Matrix clips on YouTube because they're showing how to hack.
Well, what about Mr. Robot then?
Oh, yeah, well.
Mr. Robot clips.
I tell you what, I only got partway through the first season of Mr. Robot. I just couldn't get into it.
I fell out during the second season, so.
Some of the bits I saw were realistic. Some of the bits were, like, not. But, you know, a lot of it, especially when he got into, like, the shit he was doing in the data center, it's like, okay, that's not how a data center really operates. You've got elements of it, but that's not it.
It's hard to stylize fucking watching loading bars. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's boring.
It's hard to stylize command lines. You know what I mean?
That's why you have the camera dramatically go over the corner and the guy turn around and go, "We're in." Because, you know, yeah, all you see is a C prompt, right?
Dagging and flashing colon or something.
I actually, early in my career, made that mistake of trying to give a presentation showing taking over a signage system and that we needed to get funding to fix it. And
most boring 15-minute presentation of all time, I bet.
I had the VP in the office and popped it up. I'm like, yep, there's root shell. And he just got up and he's like, yeah, that's not important. I don't care.
Exactly.
So, my boss then began working up a demonstration where we were going to walk around with a cell phone and point it at TVs. It's total bullshit, right? But we had figured out how to take over the signage system. So we were going to point the cell phone at TVs, click a button. This stuff was all staged. It was all preset up ahead of time. And have Photoshopped pictures of what was supposed to be, basically they were taking pictures, he was taking pictures of girls in bikinis and putting black censored bars over them so it looked like they were in the nude. They were going to pop up on screen like you were doing the cell phone thing. Because it was like one of the Iron Man movies that just came out and he was doing that, so we were going to stage it to like, okay, look, here's why this matters. So, yeah, I like what DPView saying, just go full cheese if you're going to do it. Don't even try to make it real. Because they do kind of treat hackers like wizards in modern settings. So, it's like in Fantasy Trope, you have wizards who can just magic up whatever you want. And the, you know, modern, you know, scenario, they always have, you know, hackers who can just magic up whatever data they want. So,
and they always ride rollerblades and have really cool skateboards and laptops.
Gotta have the laptop covered in stickers.
Yep.
Now, granted, I have a few laptops covered in stickers, too. That's not the laptop you're going to see if I'm doing anything at all. Actually, 90% of the time, you're not going to see the actual machine I use. The actual machine I use is usually going to be a couple of Raspis running off a LiPo battery in my backpack, and I'm going to be sitting there on the iPad looking like I'm watching stupid YouTube videos or posting on Facebook or Twitter. You're not going to see any of the real shit I'm doing.
Or the way phones are now, you actually probably hack it from your phone.
I've done that. Madman, you were with me when we were at Best Buy and I pulled out the pocket PC and took over their Wi-Fi.
They did have a shit password.
They did have a shit password. That's how I got into it. And then I handed it to Static and he... I don't remember what he did, but I didn't do anything. I just handed
Their network name to Secure Your Network.
Oh, did he? Okay.
That's all that happened.
That's all we did.
We can do anything. We can put stuff on sale. I could buy a new computer for $175. You're like, no, they're not going to let you walk out of the store with that. Just changing the name. Secure your network. That's all we're doing.
Yeah, I didn't do shit. I just, once I got into it, handed it to Static. I'm like, have fun.
Morals. You people and your morals.
Right? I've said that to my parents. Why'd you have to raise me with morals? You know how rich I could be right now? Anyways.
Just keep targeting Baltimore. You'll get it.
I've got something like that, but yeah. The article keeps going on, but basically, the company, apparently YouTube did respond to the article, but all they were doing was doing some clarification around the background, but they're not repeating the actual comments because they were asked not to. So it's the rest of the article goes on, you know, kind of round and round, but pretty much it's like a whim law. It's like YouTube could remove hacking videos if they want to, but apparently they don't want to. But because it's in the it's like we'll remove it if we feel like it kind of thing. But
if we get enough complaints,
yeah, or we think it's particularly egregious, like, you know, yeah, I could see pulling down the video if it's you live streaming, sitting in a Starbucks running Car Metasploit and just capturing everyone's logins, or if you're sitting there doing
and sharing it on Pastebin. Not that I'd do that.
You know, just capturing people's Outlook credentials, posting them on 4chan and having laughing at the results, right?
Not that we'd condone that sort of thing.
No, but if you've done this, we wouldn't mind the YouTube link before they pull it down. Or BitChute or
in
whatever.
Minecraft.
Oh, that's a thought. So we were just talking about doing, running things from the cell phone, right? Well, my cell phone is one of the ones that you can stick in a... Well, I mean, everybody can, but I've actually got the little Samsung thing for doing it. But, you could do the whole cell phone VR thing. Like, in a coffee shop, yeah. Doing the VR headset. You're actually, rooted into the Pi or whatever it is you got running in your backpack that's like your actual laptop, the thing doing the real work. But everyone thinks you're sitting there playing Minecraft or, I suppose you could go for broke and just, play the audio track from porn on speakers, making everybody think you're watching porn, if you really wanted everybody to leave you alone. But
there's some Beat Saber. We're playing Beat Saber.
Yeah. But there was a prank video somebody did that where they, they acted like they didn't realize their headphones were unplugged. And that they were, they had the audio from a porn track playing on a speaker or something, and they were sitting there with the headset on in the subway. like they were reaching out their hands like they were groping something. So, and you just see everybody getting really uncomfortable. It's a really funny video. Anyways, we've beaten this up for long enough. You guys want to move on?
I'm good.
Yeah, it's pretty much... I do agree it's the WIM law, because every hacking video, you're either going to use that knowledge to secure your network, fix your network, or break into a network. It's knowledge. You can't control what people do with it. It's like what a doctor doing surgery. It's not, also what you need to cut people up with.
Knowledge is like technology. It's in and of itself is not good or evil. It's what you do with it. Yeah. So if I have a hammer, I can use it to build things, or I can use it to bash somebody's brain in. The hammer itself has no say in the matter. And if you're going to try to design a hammer that's going to suddenly decide to not be a hammer, if it thinks you're swinging it at a person, it's going to do whatever it does to become not a hammer by accident at least once or twice while somebody's on a construction site trying to build a house for orphans so that it's bad press. So, anyways, next article. This one's from the BBC. RU sent me this one. The day ebooks stopped working. Consumers who bought their ebooks via Microsoft's online store are losing access to their libraries. I honestly don't remember Microsoft running an ebook store. I'm not surprised that they're running an ebook store, but I don't remember them doing it.
I don't remember it either.
So, I imagine that they weren't that popular, so this probably isn't affecting that many people. But still, the service, which launched in 2017, relied on the use of a web browser rather than a dedicated app and failed to build a significant audience. Titles purchased or offered for free will no longer be available. Out-of-pocket users are, however, being offered refunds, including a $25 credit if they made highlights or notes, which will also be lost. Microsoft first warned customers of its move in April after giving up on its ambition of making its Surface computers a popular choice for reading digital novels and textbook. Well, I'm sure it is, but they're getting the books through Kindle or something. Like, I do lots of reading on my iPad. I'm not buying the books from Apple. Might be getting them from newsgroups, but that's not the point. I occasionally purchase things on Kindle, so, you know, I can make that claim. But this marks the third time the company has pulled out of the market. Although Amazon now dominates the industry with its Kindle platform, Microsoft actually predates its rival by about 7 years. The MS Reader format launched in 2000 as part of an alliance with the retailer Barnes & Noble. But along with the rival efforts by Palm, really Palm? Well, yeah, they are talking about 2000. And the French firm Moby Pocket, there was little interest. It then tried to go back into the market again in 2012 as part of a second tie-up with Barnes & Noble. However, that too struggled, and the partnership came to an end in 2014. Although many readers will not have even realized Microsoft had made a third run at the industry, experts say the cutoff serves as a reminder that you do not actually own a copy of most digital purchases outright, but rather have purchased a license that can expire. The fact is, you don't own ebooks when you buy them with DRM from Amazon or anywhere else, commented Jim Kilblock, executive director of the Open Rights Group. Kilblock, not Kilblock, although I think his name was cooler the way I said it the first time. Hey, Jim, we just renamed you. You're welcome. Technically, technical controls through DRM are said to reduce unauthorized copying. But what they really are for is putting Amazon or Microsoft in charge of the ebook ecosystem. An organization called Defective by Design, however, maintains a list of ways to buy or otherwise legally download content that is not bound by such restrictions. So, yeah, they're not wrong. If you, Apple could shut down iTunes and you'd have millions of people who no longer had a music library. In fact, if you're on Macs, the way they set up the whole Apple streaming, we even did that article on Decking a couple of years ago where they were deleting MP3s off people's computers because it was now going to be streamed via the iTunes radio, and they accidentally had because the names matched, had accidentally deleted like rare recordings of concerts and shit like that.
Wow. I hadn't heard that one.
It's been a bit, but yeah, they did do that. So like rare copies of certain tracks were lost because it got replaced with just, you know, whatever came out on disc. Because, you know, Apple decided they knew better than you. And it's always, in my mind, it's always fishy when an application decides it's going to delete something without the user telling it to do so.
Yeah, I find that raging, to be honest.
Yeah. So yeah. But,
well, as it says, you don't actually own any of it. Well, so you have no right whenever they decide to delete your shit.
Well, yeah. With the music one, like,
not just said, music. It was... You don't own your Steam collection, BSV.
That's where I was getting ready to go, but go ahead, BSV.
Well, with the deleted rare recordings, those weren't the ones purchased going available, so it's... When they delete more than what... So, let's say if Steam decides to delete everything and go away, if they go in and delete games I bought outside of Steam as well,
that's being managed by Steam? Yeah.
Oh, even if it's not managed, it's just, oh, we deleted everything in the games folder, so...
Well, that's a better example with what happened with iTunes, where they did just search the hard drive for anything with, you know, MP3, AC4, whatever the extensions are, and just, you know, oh, nope, that's in the library, we'll stream that now, and deleted it.
Yeah, that is a bad thing, no matter how you look at it.
And Amazon has pulled this a couple of times, where they reached into people's devices, and like the license for a publishing of a book wasn't quite right. And this was years ago now, but they actually pulled copies of 1984 from people's Kindle devices.
Yeah.
Which, because whatever copy they had put up was published incorrectly, or they lost a lawsuit or something and had to pull it. But, you know, I mean, think if somebody found some crazy way to sue Steam, just as an example, and suddenly you couldn't have, I don't know, pick a game, Skyrim, you know, or whatever on the platform. Actually, we talked about this with Adobe a few weeks ago, where Adobe was saying that if you're running old versions of the Adobe Creative Suite, that it's violating the copyright because they have revoked the licenses for all the previous versions, that you had to be running the current version from the Adobe Creative Cloud. Otherwise, it's copyright infringement. Even if you had a legit key, it's piracy. Because we have revoked the license to all but the current version. You know, shit like that. So...
Now with Steam, I know for a few games, I can't remember them off the top of my head, but... Where, like, music license in the game expired. But if you already have the game, you still have it. It's just... They no longer sell it. So.
Yeah, I've got a few pieces like that where, like, I've got some software where they don't offer you that version of it anymore because the one I'm specifically thinking of is a 3D modeling application, which whenever I go in there to look at the store page to see if a new version has come out, because frankly it's not that good, but It's one of those ones that's interesting because I've noticed the store page for it doesn't have a purchase option anymore. And it says, you know, there's a new version out. Well, it's the same version, but now it's a subscription.
Nah.
And they want you to, you know, they don't offer just to buy it outright anymore. They want you subscribing. And I've noticed that on, like, iPad apps. Like, again, 3D modeling software, a CAD package. It's like there's not a decent CAD package for iOS that you can just purchase. They're all subscription-based now. Like, you know, you have to pay X amount a month to keep using this application. And, you know, from a software developer side, I get it. that you want to do continuous development, you want to, and you know, selling, you know, an individual license and having to bring in new customers constantly gets difficult. And if you can switch it over to software as a service, then you've got a guaranteed income for life. I get that, but come the fuck on some of this shit. You know, if you're going to have to pay a dollar an app and some subscription, you're going to see a lot of people quit using this kind of stuff at all. Yeah, I guess it depends on how egregious they get with it, but there's going to be a level that, where it's sustainable, and then a level where everybody says, fuck it, and they start researching open source or just not using the devices anymore, which is even more likely.
Yeah.
So.
Well, they'll push it for every dollar they can get before they start losing customers.
Yeah, they will. Plus, they're going to have a whole generation of people who grow up thinking this shit's normal and just don't balk at it like we will.
I don't know. I hope somebody sues and actually establishes property rights. When I give you money, I'm giving you something of value. I should have something of value that's mine. Now, you have the right of first sale. I understand that. That's completely great. But I should be able to sell stuff that I've bought digitally. Like, I no longer listen to this album. Let's sell the music.
Well, it's like, you know, and this again, iTunes is the easiest one, where, you know, family members wanted to get access to iTunes libraries after somebody died, and Apple had closed the account saying, nope, they died. Those accounts are no longer valid.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
So, and we, again, another article we did on decking a while back, but I almost wonder if you've got a serious fraud case against these guys, right? Because even though the terms might, you know, say, oh no, you're purchasing a license and it can be revoked at any time, you know, when the stars align or just the CEO decides they want more money. But even though that's the terms of service, the common understanding is that you are purchasing your music, you are purchasing your game, you are purchasing your ebooks, right?
Yeah.
So I wonder if you've got a fraud case. It's like you can't say I'm purchasing this and then take away my right to get it because your service requires it. Now I could see something along the lines of saying, "Hey, we're shutting this service down. You know, anything you download, you know, you need to download everything you want to keep, and it's now your responsibility to keep it." I could see something like that, but yeah, just flat out, you can no longer access this because we're shutting down, even though you paid for it. I realize what the terms say, but that still seems like a fraud case to me, because the common understanding is that you are purchasing this, not that you are purchasing a license that can be revoked whenever we feel like it.
I don't think you have enough money to sue them.
Probably not. Nah.
That's what the Electronic Freedom Foundation is for. Yeah. See if they'll take the case.
Don't you show the article? You just say they were given refunds at least for the ebooks.
Yeah, something like that.
So, yeah, they're taking it down, but if the refunds, or if they're given a good chunk back, which seems...
Well, if the markets, if they're refunding everyone their purchases, it obviously didn't get big enough for them to... DPV is asking in the IRC about the one where the prison was running their own iTunes. It's sort of.
Oh, we did that story, yeah.
Yeah, it was more they had licensed some other service that was doing an iTunes-like thing, and they had these, you know, proprietary MP3 players that they could use, and when the service was switching, they could download whatever they could to the MP3 player and then send it to a family member, but they were no longer allowed to use that MP3 player in the prison or something like that? No, they could still use... No, I think they could use the MP3 player. They just would never be able to update it, and if they lost the music off of it, tough kittens.
I thought they lost their music and some of them were getting credits.
I don't remember now.
I don't remember off the top of my head. But yeah, it could go to a family member outside of prison.
Yeah, they could mail the player outside of prison, but...
But they lost access to the music that was in that account because they lost access to that account. It was a completely different company.
Yeah, and they were interviewing some prisoner who had spent like several thousand dollars on music in there, which I guess, you know, in prison, if you got nothing but time, you probably would.
Yeah. And then he got like a $10 or $20 gift card for the new service. That was his recompense from the prison.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got hosed.
Especially in a prison environment where your choices are severely limited.
So yeah, I think he has a constitutional case there. His property was taken without just compensation.
Well, let's move on to this next one. This is from CNET. Looks like I double posted the link. Oh, well. Amazon Alexa keeps your data with no expiration date and shares it. If you
knew
have,
that.
Huh?
I knew that.
Yeah, all of us knew that. We all knew that. But, you know, they asked about it in the Senate hearing, and whoops. If you have hang-ups about Amazon and privacy on its smart assistant Alexa, you're not alone. Even after Amazon sent answers to a U.S. senator who had asked questions about the tech giant or how the tech giant retains voice data and transcripts, the lawmaker remains concerned about Alexa's privacy practices. Senator Chris Coons, a Democrat from Delaware, sent a letter to Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos in May demanding answers on... Bezos is the richest man in the world. Do you really get to demand anything of that guy?
Yes, if you're in the Senate.
Okay, fair point.
They don't use the power very often, but the reason the jail in Washington, D.C. exists is so that Congress and the Senate can hold people for contempt. Bezos could be jailed for the rest of his life for not answering a yes or no question for Congress until he decides to answer the question effectively.
Okay.
They just don't do that anymore, and I don't know why.
It was just a point of order. Well, probably because of bad press, right? But it's just a question on point of order. I don't actually care whether they jail Jeff Bezos for life or not. But, I would care, but it'd be in the philosophical sense of was it for a good reason? But let's see. Like, I wouldn't lose any sleep over it. Demanding answers on Alexa and how long it kept voice recordings and transcripts, as well as what the data is used for. The letter came after CNET's report that Amazon kept transactions of interactions with Alexa even after people deleted the voice recordings. That's the other thing with cloud computing. Just because you deleted it doesn't mean they deleted it. It just means
That's
it doesn't
right.
show up in your system anymore. The deadline for answers was June the 30th, and Amazon's vice president of public policy, Brian Huseman, sent a response on June 28th. In the letter, Huseman tells Coons that Amazon keeps transcripts and voice recordings indefinitely and only removes them if they're manually deleted by users. Huseman also noted that Amazon had an ongoing effort to ensure those transcripts do not remain in any of Alexa's other storage systems, but there are still records from some conversations with Alexa that Amazon won't delete, even if people remove the audio, the letter revealed. Privacy concerns aren't just limited to voice assistants, with the smart technology finding its way into more household items like doorbells and locks. And tech companies aren't always upfront about what kind of data they collect or how much control you have over it. The American people deserve to understand how their personal data is being used by tech companies, and I will continue to work with consumers and companies to identify how to best protect Americans' personal information, Kuhn said in a campaign statement. I may or may not have inserted the word campaign. When reached for comment, Amazon referred to the letter for details. In the letter to Kuhn's, Amazon noted that Alexa requests that involve a transaction like ordering a pizza or hailing a rideshare, Amazon and the skills developers can keep a record of that transaction, which means there's a record of nearly every purchase you make on Amazon's Alexa, which can be considered personal information. Other requests, including setting reminders and alarms, would also remain saved, Huseman noted, saying that this was a feature customers wanted. Customers would not want or expect deletion of voice recording to delete deletion of the voice recording to delete the underlying data or prevent Alexa from performing the required task, who's been said in his letter. Well, yeah, but you don't need the audio at that point. Once you've gotten the command in the system, I would think I don't think anybody would object to the voice recordings being deleted after, I don't know, a year or 90 days or some appropriate length of time.
How about just not having the voice recordings on there?
Well, it's not how the system works.
I can see for, like, the alarm stuff, just so if something happened and the alarm didn't trigger, what was the voice command, the audio of the voice command that turned off the alarm?
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, I could see that for, like, troubleshooting.
But keeping it for years upon years, that may be a bit excessive.
Yeah, because once the command's in the system, it's converted to text, right? So, I mean, yeah, it has, because the way Alexa works, they're recording it and shooting it up to their cloud service to actually do the voice transcription and whatever the actions are, and then, you know, it may or may not get shot back down to Alexa. But I would think after a period of time, you would just delete them just out of a matter of course because of space concerns.
Yeah.
One reason they were keeping them, and they're not just keeping them, Alexa shares a lot of its voice data. Not just Alexa, all of the, almost all of the virtual assistants. And the reason for that isn't particularly nefarious. People speak very differently. And we can catch the differences and know that, oh, that dude's saying yes. It's just he's saying yes and he's British instead of saying yes and being American. Machines have trouble with those differences in dialect and just accents. The one reason they keep the data is they're refining voice recognition with it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, apparently their responses leave some things open where, like, you have to call their support to get some data deleted, and yeah, Amazon uses transcripts for training voice assistants, blah, 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 and they've got the full letter in the article. But,
I think they need to be open with it because a lot of people don't know that.
Yeah.
Just be aware, if you're talking to a voice assistant, you're recorded for life.
Yeah, just everything you say is going into a database somewhere. So I recommend not having these things in your home, personally. I don't. I know of a few people who have them, and they, like, keep them in the bathroom under a sock when they're not using them.
Keep them in a soundproof...
I think you should just keep them in the bathroom as a matter of course. If somebody's going to spy on me, they're going to spy on all the parts and have to deal with it.
Yeah, at that point, you just don't have one. It defeats the usefulness of it.
Either that or you, like, turn on the radio all day and just feed it the most, you know, like, set it on, like, one of the gospel stations or something where it's going to be mostly somebody preaching all day long, or, like, maybe, like, talk radio.
Yeah, I was going with talk radio. Let's brainwash this sucker. I want Alex Jones.
Yeah, there you go. You know, you get some Alex Jones, some Rush Limbaugh in there, and just let that go all day long. Now, eventually they'll figure out how to filter, you know, broadcast medium out, but if you can constantly be feeding it something all day long, that'll at least make all the analytics and stuff like that just useless. Now, you're probably going to end up with some very weird purchases showing up on your Amazon account.
Every advertising on that
I don't
fashion.
Know if it says buy in a lot of those.
I wouldn't put it past them to put that shit in there. Because
yeah, they stopped doing it.
I mean, Burger King did it as an ad.
Oh, what's in a Whopper? They asked that.
On a similar note, I'm wondering how many of these are in range of parrots or other speaking birds.
Not enough. Not enough of them.
I love the concept.
How many parrots is sitting there going, buy lube, buy lube, buy lube?
This is Louis. He's our privacy parrot. He just says random shit all day long to Siri. And because Siri talks back to him, you know, it makes him happy. It really fucks up the analytics so they don't really have any good record of what we buy. We occasionally get a pallet of bird seed delivered. And you know what? It's okay.
It's a small price to pay for my bird's happiness. That's why I own an Alexa. I can lock my kid in the house of an evening and potty my ass off, knowing it's got someone to talk to.
You know, some parents need a mirror. Others, we just put the voice assistant down so it has somebody to talk to all day long. Of course, then the bird learns to mimic the voice of the voice assistant.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry, I didn't quite get that.
Have you ever heard a parrot mimic household appliances?
Yes.
They're fucking amazing.
We have a bird in this country called the lyrebird. It mimics everything from a chainsaw, air brakes, you name it, man. The lyrebird's fucking amazing.
Do they learn to
parrots
start it?
Do the same thing. Oh, sorry.
I was going to say they learn to start emulating like a police siren or shit, right?
Yeah, they do, man. They mimic everything, even the speech of humans, like loggers and stuff like that that are working in the forest. They'll mimic chainsaws. They'll mimic trucks backing up. I'll get video of it after the show.
That's what you want. You know, you get your new pet bird. You bring it home. Where'd you get this pet bird from? I don't know. It was at the pet shop. They said it was brought back. And then, you know, you turn it on. And the parrot starts just mimicking porn.
Mimicking porn, blenders, weird stuff, dude.
Don't oh, God, why do you alone. Have a gun? Please don't shoot me. Rock! That's what you want to hear. It starts reenacting a crime scene.
Police, I think my parrot was a witness to a murder.
That's or worse, you get the parrot and it just starts going, police, open up.
Nah, it just starts quoting old Matlock TV shows. Word making for word.
Making the Law and Order fucking sound constantly.
Dun dun. All right. Next one is from the next web. If you are planning to spend U.S. Independence Day browsing Reddit's R technology, and since that's one of the ones I normally use to find that, articles for the show, you're out of luck. For the social news aggregation service Popular Tech subreddit has gone dark for 24 hours to voice solidarity with a social media strike. Following on the announcement by Larry Sanger of a social media strike, R Technology is joining hashtag social media strike. Normal service will resume on the 5th, reads the message. The strike, conceived by Wikipedia co-founder Larry Sanger, calls for a digital independence from social media platforms. That means throwing off the shackles that chain you to social networks and compel you to share stuff there, except to post notices about the strike itself. It's like, no, it's okay to use Facebook during the strike to talk about the strike.
God damn it.
We're going to flex our collective muscles and demand that giant manipulative corporations give us back control of our data, privacy, and user experience, wrote Sanger in his blog. So you're going to have a whole bunch of social media accounts go dark for a day. On a day that most people aren't using social media accounts because they're out doing barbecues and watching fireworks and generally not, you know, at home on the internet.
At least they tried. Know what I mean?
Yeah. The problem is his ask is so vague. I don't know how you ever have victory from this, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
But also, yes, there is the whole stepping away from social media for a break here and there, but normally it's not so much when the social media goes down, you should learn to just step away even when it's active and I don't know. Just seems like an odd way of striking for this.
I agree. Because you're right. I mean, having a handful of subreddits, you know, decide they're going to participate in this strike and, you know, have a whole bunch of, you know, people's accounts go dark for a day. I don't, you know, with non-specific demands like that, you're not going to accomplish much. So, I guess you're demonstrating to these companies that the community is what keeps them in business on a day that most of the people running those companies are not working because it's a holiday? Like, you know, when you had all those websites blacking out to protest net neutrality a few years back, that got attention. This is just annoying me because I was looking for news articles to do decking tonight, so I kind of feel like the whole, you know, social media strike was targeted at me personally.
I'm going to go with that theory.
Yeah, I think so. And yet, we're still doing the show, and I still had enough articles, and we're going to go over time, so BSV, prep those fireworks, because we're at 55 minutes now.
Okay. Now, which button did which?
Well, you wired it up. Don't ask me.
I went through some rum when I was wiring stuff, so...
I've been drinking since 10 o'clock this morning.
Jesus Christ, madman.
That's when I showed up at the party. I don't know why I was there that early.
We've still got shots fired drinks to go yet.
Oh, God, I have to go to work tomorrow. No, I don't.
Oh, yeah, you mean you haven't already started playing Shots Fired?
Not yet. I was going to wait till after the show.
But, yeah, this is why you're going to have a lot of people tomorrow, quote-unquote, working from home.
Yes.
All right. Last article for tonight. Florida City fires IT employee after paying ransom demand last week. Whoops. We did the article in Lake City. So they a couple weeks ago. Now they fired him.
Wow.
So officials
For paying the ransom demand.
Yep. Officials from Lake City, Florida have fired an IT employee last week after the city was forced to approve a gigantic ransomware payment of nearly $500,000 last Monday. The employee, whose name was not released, was fired on Friday, according to local media reports who cited the Lake City mayor. The city's IT manager is also planning to revamp the town's entire IT department to prevent a similar incident from happening in the future. The Lake City IT network was infected with malware on June the 10th. The city described the incident as a triple threat. In reality, an employee opened a document they received via email, which infected the city's network with the Emotet Trojan, which later downloaded TrickBot Trojan and later the Ryuk ransomware. The latter spread to the city's entire IT network and encrypted files. Hackers eventually demanded a ransom to let the city regain access to the systems. The city's leadership approved a ransom payment last Monday, which was paid the next day on Tuesday. The city's IT staff started encrypting files the same day, so they actually got the key, which is always kind of hit and miss with these cases. And half the time you don't get the key because the hackers don't give a shit and they never actually had the key to begin with. Their script just started encrypting crap. So, you know, they never had the key. They didn't care. They just got the payment and disappeared. But in this case, they actually started getting stuff decrypted. At the time, Lake City was the second Florida city to pay a gigantic ransom demand to a ransomware gang. The first city was Riviera City, which paid 65 bitcoins, or $600,000, the week before Lake City. Since then, a third Florida municipality was also hit, namely the village of Key Biscayne. Officials reported a Ryuk ransomware inspection last week, but they haven't decided yet if they want to pay the ransomware demand. While there are pros and cons to paying a ransom demand, the public and media have turned on city officials who failed to secure networks and then decided to pay hackers. Paying ransom demands is now viewed as a sign of a city administration's failure and weakness rather than a quick fix to give access back to citizens' data, and most likely a reason why Lake City officials fired one of their IT staff as a sign that they are serious about improving their IT security posture. Go ahead, BSB.
It is a failure. All you need to do is have proper backups.
Right.
Where I work, we had one of these happen. We will back up in an hour or so as our IT just restored the previous backup of the system. We lost some files for the day, but
it's happened where I work too, man. Snapshots. We lost a handful of local workstations where people refused to back their shit up to the network, and about 15 minutes worth of data on the network shares. So
it was a quick catch.
Yeah, although I didn't much appreciate the help desk people slamming their laptop down on my desk saying, it's ransomware. Okay, did you get all the machines? Well, we got this one. Okay, so I was able to use that machine to get my signature and start searching across the network and found a few other hand machines that we yanked off the network, and most of those we recovered. There were only a handful that were actually too far gone. And even then, we got files off those drives. But, yeah, there was a handful of people who lost lost files that were only on their local machines, but that's because they didn't follow instructions and store it on the network like we told them to. So, of course, we should just force the issue because, God forbid, a user ever actually does what they're told. But,
but again, backups, you don't pay large sums of money for...
BSV, I'm going to thank you for reiterating the point I make every time I do one of these stories, because you saved me from having to do it.
You're welcome. Personal experience.
Every time we do one of these articles, I start screaming that. And the fact that you're doing it for me this time is just great. Let's see. Currently, attacks from ransomware gangs, especially the Riot Crew, are at an all-time high, and they are bound to continue, according to an alert from UK Cybersecurity Agency. Latest cases in Georgia. Yeah, I was hoping they had more detail on the firing. But, nope, they just picked one of their IT guys at random and fired him, saying it's his fault. So they have now blamed somebody, so they can then get it fixed, and nothing will actually change, because they, fired the responsible party. I wonder if it's just the poor sap who opened the email that had the ransomware in it. Because that's
probably somebody they just didn't like.
Yeah, you're probably right. Or it's like the lowest person on the totem pole.
No, they fired
you
the dude.
You are the sacrificial lamb.
Yeah.
They fired the guy that was walking around going, fucking told you so, man. I fucking told you. I told you 2 years ago this show was going to happen. That's who they fired.
You're probably right, because it's like, well, fuck that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's annoying. So. Anyways. Let's do this. Got two things for you tonight in Digital Dojo. They're both on GitHub. The first is Project Sherlock. Sherlock is a script that will find usernames across various social networks. Specifically, the idea here is you plug a little bit of information into the thing, like a name or an email address, and it's just going to go through and try to find all the social media accounts associated with whatever you've given it. So
this isn't new. I was using something like this 5-6 years ago.
Yeah, but it's a different tool.
Okay.
That's up to date. It's a Python 3 script.
Yeah.
But okay. You're right.
The idea is not new.
No. But it's a nice implementation, yeah. And rather amusing because it's named Sherlock. It has a little ASCII art of Sherlock Holmes. So
that's cool. Be careful throwing your friends and all family information into that. You don't want to know what some accounts they have.
No shit.
Just saying.
No just saying. Shit.
Hey, look at my history at your own peril.
It's like, that's
known
when
me long enough to know that.
That's when you discover why your parents no longer talk to that one uncle. Anyways. that got dark. Not as dark as we've gotten
before.
Because
of the waifu skins he wanted for his strange girlfriend.
It's like, why does he have an account on something called realdoll.com? I don't know what that is. Anyways. And then the final thing I have for us tonight in Digital Dojo, because I am trying to get us out on the hour, and not because I'm tired and been drinking all day. This one is an interesting one. It's actually in a GitHub called Datadesk Notebooks. But what this actually is a whole bunch of random information that the LA Times has been compiling. And they've got links to it. You can pull it down to CSVs or actual data here. And if you go in, you've got stuff like the Native American Census analysis. You've got LA Weed Maps analysis, which is the unauthorized pot dispensaries map. There was another fun. There was a handful of fun ones on here. I sent this to RU a few days early because I knew he would enjoy it.
Yeah, some interesting stuff in there, like arrest reports and how they're reducing crime and things like that by changing armed robbery into a, you know, not armed robbery, but just say shoplifting, things like that.
Legal payouts made by LA City. That one's always useful. Crop worker pay in California. There was another good one in here. Helicopter accident analysis. That one always just stands out for some reason. So, anyways, they've got all this stuff where you can just go get, you can just pull this data, right? It's all these different analysis. And so it's, there are dumps like this all over the place. And this is a good example of one.
Can you imagine if we had access to this when we were in high school? How much we would have been crushing exams.
I was actually
probably being
Madman. Yeah. Will remember this too, because we were in high school right when the internet was starting to become a valid research tool. I had several teachers who were like, no, you cannot use online sources. You have to go to the library and find encyclopedias and articles and books and magazines. You cannot use the internet because
but this is the MIT encyclopedia set.
Yep.
But are you? Just for a good one to have for high school is there's one for homicides near high schools.
That's true. That one is in there. So it's interesting data. And if you're wanting something to kind of Google dork to get an idea, you know, reports like that, there's more than just this one out there, right? So
yeah,
if you take some of the language from this, you can search for that in various Google dorks. And possibly find other repositories out there of information. In you know, it's under the way I actually found that one is I was exploring GitHub the other day, and I was looking at the open data tag, and that's actually where I found this one. Just thought some of that information was really interesting just to look at. So, but that's all I've got. Listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Peer decking every Thursday, except for last week because I called an audible. Basically, I just yelled fuck it into the channel and we went and played video games. But, and there's other stuff was going on. I don't know about IHN. Is IHN a possibility this weekend?
It is this weekend if everything aligns and everyone's around and yeah.
Cool. And of course, the Galaxy 15 radio site and the subreddit. That's all I've got. BSV, closing thoughts.
I hope there's not too many more shots fired called on the Chicago banner I'm listening to, since I don't know how much more room I have.
Fair enough. Madman, closing thoughts.
I'm finding it hilarious that in Chicago, the cops have to say, mobilize for fireworks. This may cause a gang war.
What? Didn't you know gang members are easily started by fireworks?
Like you know, household pets or, you know, farm livestock. All right, RU, closing thoughts.
I'm watching Cops, and I wouldn't have thought a man that size could conceal a life-size crossbow down the front of his pants.